Live streaming provided by Alpha Geek Radio and Alpha Geek Video. Visit tunein.alphageekradio.com to learn more.
This installment of Finally Friday is being brought to you by Major Spoilers VIPs from around the world. If you're one of those awesome VIP members, thank you so much for your contributions. And if you're not, you can sign up at members.majorspoilers.com. Well, hello everyone. It's finally Friday, into a busy week. Lots of talk about Deadpool and movies and comic books and all sorts of things going on. I'm Stephen Schleicher. Joining me this week again is Ashley Robinson. Hello, Ashley.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
I didn't see you there.
We're here to wrap up the week with you. For those of you who are in the chat room, I see Just the Red, I see Slag Lantern, and some others. And hello and welcome. And for those of you that are listening on Alpha Geek Radio and on other places, also welcome. If you would like to become part of this show, we asked you to call 785-727-1939, or you can find me on Skype at Stephen_Schleicher. We're not going to do a news segment this week because, really, Ashley, I think news this week has been relatively light.
I think everyone's like, oh, well, Deadpool's going to win the day anyway, so let's save it for a better time.
So I went and saw Deadpool last night. We got the 7 o'clock showing. It was sold out. For those of you that have listened to Zach on Film, the only reason I think it was sold out is because they didn't put the movie in the biggest theater, which they should have.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they put it in the medium-sized theater, which only accommodates, I want to say, 350 people. The larger theater seats around double that, but I had bought my ticket earlier in the day, and I walked in, and Zach and Rob were already in the concession stand line, and they're like, I hope you bought your ticket, because they're already sold out, and they're turning people away, and I was like, yeah, I got mine earlier, and sure enough, there were probably, I counted as I was waiting to get through the line, get my ticket, get my concessions, there were probably 50 people that they turned away that they didn't have to if the theater owners would have been a little smarter in how they did it, but fan reaction, I shouldn't say fan reaction, audience reaction at the movie was very, very positive. In fact, it's one of the few times that I remember people clapping and applauding at the end of the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, so a lot of people really dug it. I dug it. You can listen to all of our comments this week at the Zach on Film podcast over at majorspoilers.com. Already overnight in Europe, it had brought in, I think, $12 million, and they're predicting a $90 to $100 million opening this weekend.
I mean, they've already hedged their bets and greenlit the sequel, so they need it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I honestly think that they will double their, they will be in the black for this movie, including their printing and advertising costs by Monday.
Oh, easy. But I mean, they've also done an incredibly smart thing because what are they up against right now?
Well, right now, nothing, because nobody wants to open in February and March because that's the terrible time to open movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no competition besides there's some kids movie. What's the kids movie that's out that everybody's watching or some of the kids are watching?
The zoo one?
Oh, yeah, no, that doesn't come out for another week, I don't think. Zootopia. Oh. But yeah, there's no competition. And the audience was, for my showing, I would say mostly male, but I would say that it was only 60-40 male.
Oh, that's refreshing to hear.
A lot of women went to go see it, and I see that it's tracking very positive for women wanting to go see the movie.
So, even after the fact that they insult that why women would be in the movie in the first place in the first 10 minutes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, I mean, it's Ryan Reynolds, and so you get to see him naked. So that may be part of the reason.
Yeah,
too.
But it's not like fun naked. It's like
no,
scary
it's not.
Naked.
It's like it really is. It's like whoa, that's more than I wanted to see. But yeah, it's a good movie. I enjoyed it quite a bit. So you had gone and seen it quite a while ago and had some thoughts on it.
I'd seen it like 3 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I think where that movie succeeds is that it is, it's totally designed for Deadpool fans,
right.
and a friend of mine described Deadpool on Geek History Lesson as the Hot Topic hero, in the way that Harley Quinn is, and that makes so much sense to me.
Yeah,
and when I saw the movie, I was like, oh, this is like the Hot Topic movie. Okay,
yeah. Now, do you have then hope that more potential rougher comic book characters might also consider going for the R rating, or is this just one of those rare exceptions, like the first Blade movie?
Well, I have a hope for that just in terms of the genre. I'm not I'm definitely more like, oh, is it cutesy? Like, I'll go for that. Like, you know, I hope Punisher's awesome, but
yeah,
you know, like it's not my jam. But I think that it's an interesting and I think a very natural progression for what we've done with comic books and cinema and their popularity, because there's things like Preacher. Like, there are stories that are massively popular that are, you know, rated R, or
mm-hmm.
you know, even like, I mean, there's a book called Sex Criminals right now.
Right.
So
yeah.
I think it's promising, but I don't know if I'm necessarily the person who's going to be excited because they green light, you know, like, I don't know, anything written by Garth Ennis, for mm-hmm. example.
You know, I would think The Boys would be something that would be very interesting, but you'd have to be a very specific person to want to go see The Boys, either on a Netflix series where it's unrated or as an R-rated. In fact, really, The Boys would have to be potentially NC-17, I think.
Although I feel like the Deadpool crowd could get behind The Boys.
Oh, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they really would. But I mean, there were a few times in Deadpool that I was like, wow, I'm glad that nobody brought their kids to this movie.
Oh my God, yeah. And remember when that lady was trying to get a PG-13 cut? I was like, there's no PG-13 cut of that movie.
No, there's no way they could do it.
Or it's like, it's 10 minutes long at most.
Yeah, it's all a couple of flashbacks and that's it. So I did like the Colossus character. I thought that was rather interesting. But yeah, there you go. If you're going to go call in today and talk about Deadpool, we're going to ask that you keep your spoilers to a minimum for people who haven't seen it. If you are interested in being spoiled about the movie, Rob and Zach and I talked about it on this week's Zach on Film, so you can go listen to that. And Ashley, you want to talk really quick about another rumor that popped up today over at HitFix, just to kind of get some commentary on it. I'm not so sure. Now, you and Jason just did a reaction video to the Batman v Superman movie.
We sure did.
Uh-oh, you just had a big reaction face there.
Jason is sitting over there, and he's showing me statues and toys that are coming out of Toy Fair.
Oh, my gosh.
And there's a Bumblebee one that's, like, amazing.
A DC Bumblebee, or is it a Transformers Bumblebee?
A DC Bumblebee. And
holy crap. Oh, so this is the...
And a Batgirl and an Oracle, like...
Oh, wow. So is this all the DC superhero girls stuff, or is this...
No, this is their straight up we're grown ups version of those characters. Although
now,
DC Superhero Girls, so excited for that.
I didn't put it up yet, but I did see the Batgirl on the motorcycle statue, which looks fantastic.
Yeah, the Purple Rain cover. I'm so excited for that.
Yeah. And of course, let me just flip over here to the screen really quick. DC Collectibles did unveil a bunch of the new 6-inch figures that are coming out next year. Ashley, I think I'm going to be spending a lot of money. Here we have Ventriloquist and the Joker, and we're going to have Harvey Dent and Talia al Ghul. We've got a new Harley Quinn, even though I think there's one already out. Firefly.
There are two already out?
Yeah. And then there's a giant Clayface one that's going to be probably about 12 inches tall, I think, when it's done. And then they have a Girls' Night Out based on the DC... not Legends of Tomorrow, but the
it's a Brave and the Bold story.
It was on the animated series, but they did this whole thing where Barbara and Kara went on a girls' night out and they fought Livewire and Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, and they're going to have a pack of figures for that. That's going to run about $80, which is going to be really cool. And then they also have some based on the Dark Knight Returns segment that was in the animated series, which looks really cool, although that's a chunk of plastic that people are going to be investing in off of Batman. And then they have
Kelly looks so cool, though.
It does. And then they have a Batman Beyond one where the wings fold down and old Bruce Wayne and then, what is it, Duke the dog is in there. And then next Christmas, we're going to get a Christmas with the Joker set that has the Joker in his sweater, Santa cap, and a Christmas tree. And holy, oh man, I'm going to be spending a lot of money over the next couple of months. The next wave of the 6-inch figures are going to arrive in September, and they will have a $28 price tag. And then the Clayface will have, I think that is a $40 price tag on it. They have the 5-pack for the Girls' Night Out will be $80. The Legends of Tomorrow will be $70. Then the Batman Beyond will be $50. And then the Joker... holiday one, I think, is $40 as well. And then to top that, which I don't know why I didn't put the image in here. Do you? I don't know if you remember the Batmobile that was in the scale for this, to where you could put two figures in and have them drive around. They're also releasing a Batplane in that same scale. It's huge. It's about four, I want to say maybe 3.5 feet across. It's really big. It's going to go for $100 when that arrives later this year. So.
Yeah, I know the guy in the picture with the crazy Batman suit. I know him. So it was really funny when we saw it.
Yes. Oh, so you've already seen it? Or do you just saw the picture?
I just saw the picture online.
So what are your reactions to some of these toys that have come out?
Well, I, as a child of the 90s, the animated series has a special place in my heart. And I think that you can totally tell that the first wave just must have sold like gangbusters.
They did. I don't know if I have the first wave of them, but... I've been trying to go back and find the ones that I'm missing, but man, it's so good.
And I mean, I just want all of them. The thing that frustrates me about it is that something for like the Girls' Night Out pack, for example, I have all of them. I have like five of the seven or four of the six already. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, so I'm going to have to buy like a whole, like I'm going to have to buy doubles of Poison Ivy and Batgirl and Harley in order to get Livewire and Supergirl.
Right.
So if anyone wants those, they should watch my eBay, I guess.
On the plus side, here's the one thing that's different, I believe, and I don't think I have the Poison Ivy one in the 6-inch, but is this the same sculpt that's in the 6-inch one or not? Because...
Oh, let me show you.
Oh, it is exactly the same. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I remember...
I don't know if they come with the same, because these ones come with a lot of accessories, so maybe they won't come with the same accessories or like 15
bucks,
different hands.
I would
hands.
Hope that they would. Well, here's the thing. I know in this line, the new Batman Adventures, they redesigned a lot of the characters for that show. And Poison Ivy was one that went from a very, I don't want to say vixen the character, but a
sexy,
femme fatale, sexy character to somebody that was a little bit more hard-edged and darker. And so I didn't know if maybe that's what they were going for there. I'm going to have to go back to my Nerd Room of Doom to see which ones I have. I need to start. Here's the thing I'm going to start doing is whenever I buy something, I'm just going to take a picture of it with my cell phone.
That's a
smart
idea.
So the next time I go to the store, I can say, do I have this one? Do I have this one? Do I have this one? Because when the pop vinyls came out for Big Trouble in Little China, I couldn't remember which one of the Storms I had. And so finally I was just like, I'm taking a picture of these guys. So the next time I go to the store and find it, I can know whether I have it or not. So I think that might be what I have to do.
I wind up doing that with books a lot because I'll buy stuff and then it goes on a shelf, so I'm not always looking at it. So I'm like, I'll make a note on my phone where I'm like, do I have Ms. Marvel Volume 4? Mm-hmm. Yes or no? Mm-hmm.
Let's really talk about books before we get to this rumor. The other thing that came out early this week that had a lot of people excited was that we're getting an 8th Harry Potter book.
Yeah. I don't know if it's a book, though. I think it's just the script.
It is the script,
play.
But technically it's a book, right? I mean, it's bound.
I mean,
and,
you're going to print it like a book, but play scripts do not read like prose books.
No, and that's the one thing that I don't know how people are going to react to that, because I know a lot of people want to see the play. I mean, this was a run that starts in July. Yeah, it was already sold out, I think, the day of, but it starts in July, and then it's going to run for however long it runs, and people are like, well, I can't afford to go to London to see this and get tickets and all this. And so they're releasing the book. Publishers, I think it's Random House or...
Yes, they are the Harry Potter people.
Yeah, Random House here in the U.S. will be releasing the script, and this is based on the production week or the production preview script. And then... potentially, as the production continues and they make changes to the script, they'll re-release updated versions of that script for people who want that.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So what are your reactions to this? Are you excited about it? Is it something that concerns you because it's not a novelization of the play or what?
I think a novelization would be, I think that would be more troubling to me. I grew up with Harry Potter. I was of that generation. But Harry Potter is something for me that... much like Hunger Games, the fandom that has sprung up around it has really ruined it for me. So while I recommend it to people and I enjoy it and I can appreciate its merits, I don't get psyched for it the way I get psyched about other stuff. But what I do really appreciate about this is that...
Whoops. I don't know. I guess we'll find out when or if she gets connected. Oh, I know what happened. Hold on. Sorry about that. Whoops. Hold on. Don't call. Hold on, people. I know exactly what happened. Let's see. Add Ashley back in. Sorry about that, Ashley.
That's okay.
So what were you saying? You get so excited about it, but...
Right. So the thing that I like about it is that they decided to do it as a play, which I think is a neat idea because I love theater and I think the theater is the best. But they have also, I think either the publisher, like, sure, it's a money grab. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, that's what it all boils down to. Mm-hmm. But that is a very immediate way without having to film the play and try to distribute right. that through theaters, which is always a nightmare, to include as many people as possible. And yeah. that's what I really appreciate it. I think that it's going to be a very strange reading experience for people who aren't used to scripts.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it might get some backlash because of it.
That's what I'm thinking, too, is that people see Harry Potter 8 book and they're thinking, oh, novelization. And it's not yeah. going to be that one.
But I think it has enough like scary rabid fans that it'll be fine. You know, it's going to sell a million copies and make a ton of money.
Yeah. Yep, definitely. All right. Now I've got the phone situation figured out. If you want to call 785-727-1939, we will see about adding you to a call. Although keep in mind, sometimes if you're calling from a cell phone, we can't always add you into the call without dropping somebody on the other line. Or you can call me if you're on Skype at Steven_Schleicher. If you're on a cell phone, go ahead. I mean, we've had some wonderful calls in the past with that sound fantastic. So don't hide because of that reason. Just the Red says, I wonder if people were crazy like Harry Potter fans over the Wizard of Oz books back in the 1940s.
I don't know. I don't know if the books were as popular before the movie came out, to
probably
be completely
not.
Honest.
Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of them, too. I don't know how many there are in total.
Seven?
700 million, it feels like.
Something like that. Well, I mean, now it's in the public domain, so everyone's yeah, yeah. like, the true story of
yeah,
Dorothy.
Yeah.
Everyone
yeah.
wants to be wicked.
Yep. So let's get to this rumor that popped up that Jason was talking about just before the movie started.
Yeah.
The thing says, Batman v Superman, could DC's entire slate be in jeopardy? Now, this is a rumor over at HitFix, and I guess some other people are reporting on it, and we can comment on it, but we don't really report on rumors. But what's going on here?
So someone who claims to be an inside source, mm-hmm. You know, and every time someone's not willing to go on the record, I always feel a little bit sketchy about it, especially yeah. in entertainment. Yeah. But it is what it is. And everyone signs an NDA in Los Angeles. So mm-hmm. Has claimed that DC is going to be releasing. They're basically going to be swapping the order of some of their movies. So we had the Batman movie, which was slated to come out next. And they're going to swap that and bump the Justice League movie up into that place because apparently Warner's has done some private screenings, which I had heard about some private screenings that had happened around Christmas time,
mm-hmm.
But not recently, which is not to say that it couldn't have happened. And that the general reaction is that it's a good movie, but it's not strong enough to set up the Justice League. So they want to bump that story further forward in their timeline so that they can start, you know, developing the rest of those characters as well.
Okay, so the rumor is that Justice League will get moved up.
And Batman will get pushed back into Justice League's original spot.
I guess I'm okay with that because, you know, do we really need more Batman movies? I thought maybe it
yes.
was, Ben Affleck is not good in his role. But I don't think that that's the case because everyone that has seen bits and pieces of this or have seen the whole movie has said Ben Affleck is fantastic.
Yeah, everything
as
that
Batman.
I've heard about that is that he's the best on-screen Batman to date.
Okay. There is a bit of news that came out, I believe it was on Monday, February 10th. Warner Brothers has quietly moved up the release date for its currently untitled DC Comics film by a week. Everyone is expecting that movie to be the Flash movie, but they may be pushing that up from March 23rd, 2018 to March 16th, 2018. At least that's how they've changed their schedule officially. So
ooh,
I don't
a whole
know if,
week.
Yeah, I know. Well, hey, it's a whole week closer to a Flash movie than we were in the past. So I don't
That's
know.
True.
I wonder sometimes as things move through, you know, the telephone lines of, you know, are you familiar with that game where you start
oh, yeah.
saying something and by the end it reaches that is totally different? I wonder if someone has taken that story and
taken it way out of context
into something else.
Interesting. I kind of hope that. I mean, again, like I'm not working for Warner Brothers, so I don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of hope that they don't move the Justice League movie up personally.
How come?
Because I like Batman a lot, and I would like to see more Batman. And I think that the way that the schedule is right now, I think it is, I think it's very well paced. I think it gives us a chance to introduce all the characters before the big team up movie. But then again, like, that's what Marvel did, so maybe they're just trying to, you know, be distinctive and be different, and you don't have to copy the Marvel model as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, again, everyone's going to go see all those movies. So
I think
the effect will be, like, minimal at best.
I can't imagine. I know that there were a lot of people upset over Man of Steel, which, whatever. That's fine. But I can't imagine that Batman v Superman, especially after this final trailer, would have people really nervous about that movie. I mean, that's still being released in March. But I just... I don't know. I still have a lot of high hopes, especially after seeing that last trailer, that there's going to be some good stuff in there.
I love that last trailer. I thought it was so good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I was sometimes I'm very quiet when I watch these things, but when Wonder Woman, when there's that shot of her jumping into action and flying into action, I'm just like, oh, F, you know, I was just, oh, this is so cool. And I uttered a couple of expletives and it was just like, this is awesome in the way that it looks. And I'm hoping that they play it out right. I mean, they're really getting paranoid Batman down in these last couple of trailers. They're really trying to set up Superman as the bad guy and portray everything through Batman's paranoid worldview. So I think there's some really good misunderstanding stuff. And if people are true comic book fans, they know that the first time heroes meet, they usually fight each other. We saw it in the Ant-Man movie, right? I mean, Falcon and Ant-Man, the first time they meet, what are they doing? They're fighting. When the first time we saw the Avengers meet, when they were going after, it was Thor and Captain America and Iron Man all fighting. They fight. That's what they do the first time they meet until they realize, oh, we either have to team up against Doomsday and Darkseid, or we're going to squabble amongst ourselves and lose the entire thing. So I don't know. I want to hope that this movie is going to be really, really good.
I am hopeful. I'm so excited for it.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, excited for Civil War, but more excited for Batman.
Yeah, me too. I think you and I are big DC fans, and that's cool. But, you know, we can still love all the other things that are coming out, too. So,
yeah.
785-727-1939. We'd love to have your phone calls at this time, now that I've got everything switched out here. Or you can call me at Steven_Schleicher on Skype. What else is going on that you wanted to talk about today, Ashley?
Mostly the stuff that I want to talk about we've already talked about. So let's can we talk about Legends of Tomorrow?
Sure, let's talk about Legends of Tomorrow. I had a chance to watch it over my lunchtime today, finally. They went to 1986 to go find some information on where Vandal Savage is. Turns out he's defected to Russia.
Where we kind of just were.
Yeah. Which is weird, right? And he is developing his own Russian Firestorm project.
Compared to America, like, they're a lot closer.
Yeah. So what were your reactions to this?
I want to know when the Captain Cold show was going to happen, because he's the best.
He really was good. And I had a lot more empathy this week for Heatwave, because he really kind of showed up as a strong character this week. Oh, caller, go ahead and turn down your phone call, turn down your telephone lines or whatever. Who's this?
Hey, this is Bill from Arlington. Hey, guys.
Hey, Bill. What's going on?
I heard you guys discussing the Batman v Superman final trailer. It was pretty outstanding. I just watched it last night. I watched your reaction video, Ashley. It's great stuff.
Thank you.
And just as you guys are saying, of course they're going to team up. Of course they have to team up. That's the comic book trope. But before they do, I do want Batman to slap him around a little bit first.
Well, when Superman throws that punch and Batman blocks it, and Superman's like, "What?"
So good.
I think there's
going to
be some. I think there's going to be some punching.
That was pretty tremendous.
Yeah.
And this, I know you guys are more DC fans, but you know the new Civil War trailer too looked pretty great for just the image of Tony Stark ironing up his hand as Bucky Cap shoots, and that was pretty tremendous too.
I thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
Yep. But yeah, I thought this was the best Batman v Superman trailer yet.
So far, man, we've only got... Now we have to wait a whole month before it hits. Because it's 23rd, right? So we've got a little over a month.
Yeah, because the movie comes out the 25th.
Yeah. Man, I figured they'd have at least two more trailers before then.
Maybe they don't have to follow that Marvel method. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff, too, like I said in the video. Like, we haven't seen anything new for Lex Luthor since we first saw him. So I wonder if they're keeping his big things a secret.
Yeah. Now, do you think he becomes Doomsday, or do you think Doomsday is just his clone creation of Zod's head?
I think Doomsday is your Zod.
Yeah.
Is your Michael Shannon, because he looks like Michael Shannon.
Well, we've seen the unzipping of the bag with him in there and Lex wheeling it down the hallway. So
yeah, and that could be a MacGuffin. Like, that could be a scene that doesn't relate to anything really.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like it too.
Yeah. What else is on your mind today, Bill?
The next thriller is coming out on Tuesday, so I'm gearing up for that as well.
All right. Tell us more about it.
So this one is Northwoods. Mm-hmm. It's a sequel to The Beast of Barcroft. Thank you for posting about both The Beast of Barcroft and Northwoods. They're coming out relatively quickly from Penguin Random House back to back, so I'm just beating the drum. As per usual.
Why are they coming out so quickly, do you think?
So it's pretty simple. I had, when I got my literary agent based off of the manuscript for The Beast of Barcroft, she was shopping the book around for about a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't sitting on my hands, so I went ahead and wrote the sequel, which was a huge leap of faith, writing a sequel to a book that hadn't been published.
Right.
So when she finally got the deal with Hydra, which is the science fiction and fantasy imprint of Penguin Random House, she called me. I flipped out. I said, "This is fantastic," because I just finished the first draft of the sequel. She said, that's good to know. And I hung up, called my wife. We freaked out last year. And then 5 minutes later, my agent calls me back. She said, "Your book deal is now a two-book deal."
Awesome.
I
flipped out again. Thank you. And you know, of course, I had been able to write these books in a vacuum with no pressure or anything like that. And I figured I had a full year banked of, you know, I'd have a year head start. And my agent pretty much erased that. But that is a great problem to have. It really is a great problem to have. So, yeah, she said, Beast of Barcroft is coming out in November. Northwoods is coming out in February, and what else you got? I was like, what else you got? What are you talking about? So
I feel like I got a blank page.
Well, exactly.
In this email that you sent me the other day, you said that you're already starting on book three.
Yeah, I'm about a quarter or a third into book three. So I've been working on that for a few months in between trying to get the word out for The Beast of Barcroft and Northwoods. So it's a series. It's, you know, my two main characters going off and investigating weird cryptozoological creatures. Say that 10 times fast.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Well, cool. The Northwoods, which is the newest one, comes out on February 16th. 277 pages. You can go pick that out. Use the link over at Major Spoilers, the Amazon link. Go get it there. This is available in both electronic and hard physical copy as well?
Just digital for now.
Okay, cool. All right. That sounds awesome. No big signings or conventions that you're going to promote the book?
No, not yet. I mean, I was at New York Comic Con last year at the booth for Penguin Random House, but nothing as of yet. We had a big launch party in December, but it was like a dual launch party for the two books. But I will definitely keep you posted. I'd love to go to more cons. It was so much fun to go.
Yeah.
On the other side of it.
And how were sales? Sales were good for the first one, or I guess this technically the first of this line.
Sales are good. I haven't gotten the quarterly royalty check, but you know, as I like to say, I'm probably only going to have to be in this day job for another 20 or 30 years.
All right. looks like the Kindle version is only $2.99. You can go pre-order it now and then have it delivered right to your Kindle app come February 16th.
And I think they're doing a sale when it releases for The Beast of Barcroft for 99 cents.
Oh, wow. So you can get two books for less than $5.
So a twofer. How's that for value?
That is actually a really great deal. And while you're over at, actually, they've got Beast of Barcroft listed for $2.99 right now. But the first book that you wrote, Slipping the Cable, is also available online as well.
That's true.
And that's a, remind me, that's a, is that a Coast Guard or She's Navy or what was the?
Coast Guard. Yeah, it's a Coast Guard crime thriller.
Ooh, so see, there you go. All right. Well, cool, Bill. I hope that this, oh, look, it already shows that I purchased this item. It's nice that I'm showing my logged in Amazon account. Everyone can see that I purchased this item already on December 4th, 2015. Now I'm just waiting for it to arrive. So anything else you want to share today?
No, guys, keep up the good work. Thank you so much for all the support.
Not a problem. All right, Bill, you have a great weekend.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
That's good. So somebody asked real quick in the question in the comment section. Ashley, let's see. Ashley, are you currently filming anything? Anything that you can talk about that is?
I am current. I mean, other than our review shows, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm actually working on a play right now for the Hollywood Fringe Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Inman and I are writing it. And then we had our first read through, and our cast is mostly made up of Redshirt Diaries alums, and then we have one new person that we're folding in. It's going to be here in I don't live in Hollywood, but it's going to be in Hollywood in the month of June, and we're actually going to film it. So we're either going to stream one of the performances live, or we're going to have like a download that we're going to have out for patrons probably.
Oh, neat.
So that
yeah, that's
we're trying
cool.
to. We're trying to do the Harry Potter thing. We're trying to, like, include as many people as possible because I do appreciate that with a play, you're very restricted to whoever wants to come to the specific location.
Sure. Now, is there any restrictions on selling virtual tickets to your play?
I don't know.
Because one of the things
that anyone's ever tried to before.
Okay. So this might be something, since you have a little bit of time, that you might want to look into. When I was working at the university, we would do all of the sports events, stream those live. And we did it through a company, and I forget where they were, but they're mostly sports related. But they would sell virtual season passes and virtual single event tickets to people. Basically, they just get a login code. They log in, and they're able to watch the game stream live on the day of it is wherever it is, providing they're outside of the blackout area. So you might want to look and see if there's a way to do that and maybe get some people to support you there, too.
I just think that we're going to have to set up whatever it is.
Oh, okay.
So that's going to be what would keep us from maybe streaming it
mm-hmm.
and going for like a digital download instead.
Mm-hmm.
Because I mean, as far as I know, none of the venues have streaming
services.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Well, you know, if I was there, I would definitely come out with my cameras and do a nice little 3 or 4 camera setup for you guys. So, I know. That's what I do. 785-727-1939. That's the number that you want to call if you want to share some thoughts. And I know a few of you had tried calling in just a few minutes ago, but please go ahead and give us a call back. Or Steven_Schleicher on
I'm
Skype.
Sorry.
What's that?
I'm sorry.
You're
it's
sorry.
My fault that you can't call in.
No. They can call in. What the problem was is I had the phone set to auto answer, so it was kicking you off and auto answering someone else, and I had to get that switched around. The problem is, you know, when we're doing the Major Spoilers podcast or anything like that, instead of holding up the show, if somebody calls in or, you know, if the line drops, you guys can just call right back and get right back into the situation. Now, here's someone that has called in that I'm actually going to have to put Ashley on hold for just a minute so we can get your question, because this is one that I can't add to the the phone call. So this is Matthew. Matthew, how are you?
How you doing, Steven?
Good.
Ashley.
Well, Ashley can't hear you right now because we weren't able to join the two of you to the phone call. So she is on pause at the moment.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Nope, that's okay. Like I said, sometimes some will add in, some won't. So what's on your mind today?
Well, actually, I just wanted to call in for you and Ashley. And
okay.
Thank you very much for making Critical Hit and all the other podcasts.
Oh, not a problem.
I've been listening to them for quite a long time. I'm a VIP member.
Thank you.
And because of that, I've just recently launched my own podcast.
Excellent.
I was inspired by you and Rodrigo.
Oh, thanks. Good. What's it called?
It's called Polyhedron. It's a RPG-focused podcast where we talk about all the ins and outs of role-playing games.
Excellent. Very cool. So you're it's not a real play podcast. It's just discussing like what the different systems are out there, how they work, those kinds of things.
Absolutely. We also talk about the culture of role-playing. We talk about video games that are RPG-based.
Oh,
we,
neat.
We go through the full gamut.
Cool. So how many episodes do you have?
We currently have two that we published. It's going to be bi-weekly just because of our own schedules.
Sure. Well, that's start slow. That's always a good way to do it. So, are they already released or you just put them in the can? Or
no, they are already released. We already have about five episodes recorded in the can, ready to go. It's just we're doing them slowly but surely.
All right. So it's the Polyhedral podcast.
No, Polyhedron.
Polyhedron. Okay.
Yes.
Podcast. And you have a website to go along with that?
Yes. You can go to www.headcanongames.com.
Yep. Okay.
/polyhedron.
headcanongames.com/polyhedron.
Yes.
All right. Cool, man. Anything else?
No. I guess I wanted to just thank you guys so much for that and doing this call-in episode.
Yeah, no problem. We do it every week.
Yeah. Also, I just recently finished your flashback episode, and it's fantastic.
Oh,
I loved Earth 2.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Can't wait to see what happens next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, who do you think Zoom is?
I don't know off the top of my head. If I were to pick one person that I think it is right now, I think it's John Wesley Shipp, Barry's father.
Oh yeah, that's my current going theory as well. It just fits very well. He's been kind of off, the actor has been kind of put to the sidelines, yet they keep hinting about fathers and legacy and all this other stuff.
Yep, definitely. All right, thanks so much for calling in, man.
No, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good weekend. Bye. All right, so Ashley.
Hello.
Who do you think is Zoom?
I thought it was Joe West for a long time.
Oh, until he bit it?
Yeah.
Unless he's faking his death.
Which he could, because it's comics.
Yeah.
Now I kind of think it's going to be Eddie Thawne. Because that's who I thought it was. I mean, they revealed pretty early on that Harrison Wells was the Reverse Flash in season one.
Right.
But we know that he exists in that Earth because he's on Barry's phone.
Mm-hmm.
And that actor's on another show, so that's why he's not a regular cast member.
Right.
But because I just think that would be a really nice mirror to the Eobard Thawne thing.
Mm.
So that's who I think it is now. And I think that he's got like a voice modulator. I mean, obviously, kind of like Arrow does.
Yeah.
So because he doesn't actually sound like Tony Todd.
Right.
Part of me, though, kind of hopes that it's some other character. Like it's evil Wally West or something.
It could be evil Wally West, but. You know, people have asked who's the character in the mask at the end of the last episode. That
I have
could
no
be Wally
idea.
West, but I got two theories on that. So, as I just mentioned with Zoom, I think it's John Wesley Shipp's character, Barry's father of Earth 2 is Zoom. Mm-hmm. As far as the person in the mask, I tried watching that scene again, and it's so dark you can't tell, but it could be Wally West of Earth 2, or, and here's the one that will shock a lot of people, Jay Garrick's acting mighty weird. Jay Garrick in this episode specifically referred to juicing with Velocity 6.
Yeah.
The only person that I know that calls Velocity 6 or Velocity 9 speed juice is Jay Garrick, or is Johnny Quick from Earth 3. And so Jay Garrick of Earth 2 may actually be the other person trapped in the cage with the iron mask on, and Jay Garrick of Earth 3 is the one that's on Earth 1 right now, and it's going to be a total
reveal. And then
that's
where Supergirl comes from.
It could be. But that's my crazy theory this week on what's lining up, because there's something not right about Jay.
I don't know if that's just they didn't quite know what to do with him.
Could be.
I think, too, they got a really amazing actor that they didn't. I think they didn't expect him to be like as good and as likable as he is, because the romance with Caitlin for me feels very much like an afterthought with him.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of a waste. I don't like it at all.
But again, as we saw in this week's episode, everything is reversed, right? So you have Snart as the mayor, and you have you have Detective Singh or Chief Singh is a criminal, and you have Deadshot as a good guy, and Iris is a cop, and everything is all combobulated and flipped around. Why would Jay suddenly be a good guy unless he was a bad guy on Earth One? Which doesn't make sense because it's not shown. I mean, he's got a bad guy name, but
Barry, Earth Two Barry Allen is not necessarily a bad guy.
Joe kind of makes it. Joe made him out to be pretty much a bad guy.
Well, but
that's perspective.
I would also argue, yeah, that could be the fatherly thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not like straight up evil,
right?
The way that they've taken a lot of the characters, like Caitlin Snow, like Killer Frost is straight up evil. Mm-hmm. Firestorm is basically just Robbie Amell still playing Firestorm.
Yes.
Unfortunately. like Deadshot, like there are some characters have huge character changes and some are like, oh, you're not a metahuman and you're kind of selfish.
Right, right.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, people are, you guys are spoiling The Flash. We haven't watched it yet. Sorry. But,
I'm not sorry.
online, it's hard to miss. I mean, we haven't really spoiled much of anything about this particular episode as far as what happens.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that there's some of these Easter eggs have already been all over the internet already.
I mean, the phone was up. There were pictures of the phone online at 5 o'clock
Pacific time,
because everybody on the East Coast was already sharing it.
Yeah, because by the time we finished recording the podcast, I had already seen that phone shot before we finished the podcast.
It was someone yelled at me in my Supergirl review videos. Because they said that I had spoiled the Martian Manhunter reveal in that.
Oh, because of the picture?
Well, yeah, and because it's like the first thing that I talked about, because it's kind of the most amazing thing about the episode.
Right.
And I was like, the picture was up at 3 o'clock Pacific time because that's when the embargo lifted on the East Coast. Like, that picture had been up for like 24 hours by that point.
Yeah.
You know, I understand if you haven't watched something that it can be incredibly frustrating, but I think that even the 2 week expectation now is kind of out the door with the way that internet culture is.
And that's not that was Frank Darabont saying, hey, everybody, 2 weeks. And that's not quite the case.
Not even a little bit.
No. And of course, we'll have a lot more spoilers coming out this week. And of course, Toy Fair is going on in New York City. And so we'll see a lot more toys coming out, including these horrible, I don't know if you've seen these, Ashley, these horrible Thomas the Tank Engine mashup things. They're called mashup minis, where basically Thomas and friends become DC superheroes.
Thomas is like, you can't make it relevant. I'm sorry. Well, it is what it is.
They kind of do a little bit because Lex Luthor is one of the diesel engines.
Oh, no. Stop.
But the creepiest thing that I saw, and I actually saw this yesterday before I put it up, is Thomas as Bizarro.
Oh,
it's horrifying. It is truly horrifying. Yeah, it's right there on the front page right now. Just scroll down. I won't disturb and frighten our viewers at home. But you can head over to majorspoilers.com, look under the Thomas the Tank Engine becomes friends with Batman, Wonder Woman, and SpongeBob. So there's actually SpongeBob Thomas and Patrick Star Thomas. So
that's a thing.
Yeah, it is definitely a thing. Apparently, this is not the first run of this. This is actually the second run of these.
Stop it.
No, I've got images in the press release that DC had sent me this morning. They're like, oh, yeah, and here are all the images from last year's mashups.
Oh.
And I was like, no. Now, it did look like most of these were only going to show up in Walmart. So maybe, I don't know if that's a blessing for some people or not, but...
You're doing superhero girls. We're all excited about that. Just leave
Target
it at that.
Target is really, that was the announcement. So many things leading up to Toy Fair, Target, Target, DC, and Mattel announced that the DC superheroes were going, DC superhero girls were going into Target stores, and they're going to make a big push for that.
Yep, I'm buying all the Barbies.
Unfortunately, Diane Nelson's comment was kind of like a well duh moment kind of thing where she basically said, and this is paraphrasing, we think that there is a big market for superhero toys for girls. And it's like, well, duh.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying, but you have to say that because there's no reason why Like, this line is so exciting because it's never been done properly with this much enthusiasm from a major company before. And like, it's, is it unfortunate that you have to say that? Yeah, but I think it still needs to be said. And it, that, that sucks on top of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like when someone's like, yeah, and we have a strong female character. And it's like, well, of course you do, because 51% of the world's population is female.
Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this a couple of weeks ago when we talked about the Barbie redesign, where some study came out that the toy market is the slowest to respond to change. Among everything else, it's the toy market is the slowest. And we can see that, especially with this DC Superhero Girls line, which I'm still excited about. I don't care what anybody says.
I mean, they're doing a, they're still doing a whole lot more than Marvel's doing on that particular front. So I'll take it. It looks awesome.
We may see a change in that. I'm not going to reveal too much right now because I'm going to be on Current Geek this week in just a couple of hours with Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt. And I have a hot rumor about a certain toy company. So we'll see if we talk about that. If we don't, I'll definitely mention it next week. But it could be a major shakeup, and I do want to say it is totally a rumor, so don't be making all your stock purchases based on that. So there you go.
Cool.
I know some people say they love Thomas. I mean, Mason, when he was a kid, just loved Thomas left and right and had a bunch of Thomas stuff. We even went to see a Thomas the Tank Engine live show once, which was just weird in itself. But, hey, you know, 2 and 3 year olds dancing and clapping and excited about seeing Thomas, that's great.
It is kind of one of those endearing things. Like, I actually don't know when Thomas the Tank Engine started, but I feel like
in the, like, I want to say 60s, I want to say, is when the book started.
Well, I know Ringo was like the original voice of the narrator in the show. So it's one of those things that clearly just keeps hitting. But I don't understand, like, why do you need to make it extreme?
Yeah. Oh, it looks like the 26 books of Thomas the Tank Engine, the first was published in 1945, and then they've been published a bunch of them all the way up till 2011.
Wow.
And then the Thomas the Tank Engine show became popular in, I want to say the first ones aired in, looks like 2009?
No.
That can't be right.
They were on when I was
little. Okay, here we go.
Human being.
Looks like 79-80. Yep.
Yeah.
There you go. But yeah, my oldest, he loved him for a long time. Then he kind of got tired of it. The youngest doesn't care for them.
Oh, really?
We tried to see if he would be interested in it. Totally not interested. On the plus side, he's also totally not interested in Caillou. So, you know, a blessing there. And I know Caillou, a big Canadian export. Thanks a lot, Ashley.
Yeah, you're welcome.
He grew up
to be Justin Bieber. What do you want?
How do Canadians view Caillou? Can I ask that? Is there a consensus on how people think about Caillou?
I don't know, because Caillou was I never experienced it. Like, it was past my childhood. But I mean, all I really know about it is just the general derision.
Okay.
But I do think it's funny that there's this American thing where, like, when you get a product from Canada and you don't like it, like Caillou or Justin Bieber, everyone really wants to point it out. And I'm always like, well, I never, like, my country never dropped a bomb on anyone. So all we did was make a shitty cartoon.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. I know. That's my big one.
Wow.
I do.
I would not use that as your opening argument in the future.
but it's funny to watch people get up in arms about it.
Oh, no. There was a, you know, before we actually encouraged Mason to switch to Caillou, because the thing that he was watching before that was Make Way for Naughty, which was an even more horrible show, in my opinion.
I think Naughty, I think Naughty's British.
Yeah, it is. And it's just the production value of that is horrible.
But we had that for a long time.
Yeah, there was actually an episode that I was sitting watching with him, and they did it so cheaply that they had to do an over the shoulder. So what they did is they took one of the characters that was facing the camera, removed his head, and flipped it around so that you could see over the shoulder, but you could also see that there was no neck attached to the body and no head, and it was totally creepy. But you knew it was the exact same body because they changed nothing about it. And it's just low production quality. Everything was bad. And so I was like, please, just how about Caillou? That's got to be better. And then he started watching that, and then we started really paying attention to what Caillou was doing, or like, this is a horrible child. Let's not have her.
He just like is bald and throws fits all the time, right?
He throws fits. It's like he's a good example of why parents should spank their kids, because Caillou is totally out of control and totally they just let him get away with murder all the time. Literally, there's a whole episode called Caillou Murders People.
Well, it's French. What do you want?
So yeah, I'm glad that the youngest is not into Naughty or Caillou. So.
I don't know. That'd be an interesting poll. Like, what's worse, like those or Teletubbies?
Wow. I don't know. Maybe some of our listeners know. Listeners in the chat, just go ahead and shout out. What's worse, Naughty, Caillou, or Teletubbies? And we'll see how that comes before the end of the show. We've only got about 10 minutes left, so you can just shout it out down there, and we'll see what happens. But you also can call in 785-727-1939. Or Steven_Schleicher on Skype. Someone's asked, what's Current Geek? Current Geek, I think, I don't know if it's weekly, but Scott Johnson and Tom Merritt do a show where they bring on just different guests and talk about geeky things in the news, science things, nerdy things, pop culture-y things. And so this week, Rodrigo and I are both going to be on to talk about stuff. And I put in the show notes today, I said, well, here's a rumor for a potential forecast part of this show. And we'll see what happens. So, should be fun. Starts at 6. So, I'm hoping the wife is home before then, or else there will be kids in the background eating food while I do the show.
Is that going to be a live streamed as well?
I believe it's live streamed on Alpha Geek Radio. So, if you're on Alpha Geek Radio or on the video side of it, you can join in and watch there. And then I know that they release it in podcast form on their Frog Pants Studios network.
So you'll be all over, all accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a good show. This is going to be like either the fourth or fifth time I've been on the show since they started it like 3 or 4 years ago. So
nice.
I'm on once a year probably. That's probably too often. I think the last time I made Tom mad because I told him that, the forecast segment where you're supposed to predict things in the future, you know, they can often be crazy and they could be totally not happening. And I said that we would have petabyte drives, these huge giant drives would be less than $1,000 by 2015. And this was like 3 months before 2015 arose. And Tom was like, there's no way that that's ever going to happen. You're crazy. Yeah. Anyway.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. It's stupid stuff, but that's what we'll talk about. Let's see. Olin says Caillou is the worst. Jarmo says Teletubbies is trippy. I got no idea about those other ones. You're lucky.
Yeah.
but I thought Naughty was an international sensation, not only in the UK, but all across Europe. People were super, super Naughty fans. Because Naughty's been around, I want to say, longer than Teletubbies or Thomas, or around the same time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I know Teletubbies, too. They have another show called In the Night Garden. And it's like watching your brain turn to tapioca in life.
I know. I don't know, but there's something about it. I don't know, because my kids watch, Thomas, the youngest one, watches this YouTube channel that I just can't stand, where it's just them opening up toy packages.
Oh, the one with the two kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's horrible. I think it's horrible production value. I think it's horrible this, that. But the youngest will watch that and start talking about it, and he'll watch the same episodes again and again and again. And then an interesting conversation with my son the other day is like, well, Dad, you know, why do people watch so many of these dumb videos again and again and again on YouTube? I'm like, well, sometimes you have shows that are really smart production value and have really good content, like what we do here on Friday, Finally Friday, or what you and Jason are doing over on the Jawin channel. And sometimes people aren't interested in that, but then you have something that really lowers people's intelligence, and that's what people want to watch again and again and again. And we end up with those kind of channels where people make millions of dollars and continue to put out, in my opinion, just crap and garbage.
So. Because if people watch it, why would you do better?
Exactly. So here's the other thing that I got into a weird conversation with people last night. I don't want to go too much into it, but you and Jason had put up the reaction video to the Superman trailer, and somebody was like, well, Stephen, that's a copyright violation. The Fine Brothers are going to sue them. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, whatever. Because I really hadn't paid attention to this whole Fine Brothers trying to trademark and copyright the reaction video stuff. And then I started going back and looking at what they were trying to do, and of course they dropped the whole thing within a week. And I'm just like, wow, that's some ballsy moves to try to do that. I mean, I can understand trying to copyright, right, and trademark, you know, Kids React and that logo and that idea. But to say all reaction videos have to come under our banner and we'll promote it, or else, you know, we could potentially sue you. That's not what they said, but that was the implication. It was just ridiculous. And then I started thinking a little bit more about this, and it's like, wow, if I wanted to just sit back and do no work, I would get other people to go and do my reaction videos for me and then create a 70-30 split where I take 70%, you take 30%, and I don't have to do any work for it. So it's really weird. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this Fine Brothers thing.
I mean, I think it's really stupid.
Yeah.
I think it's tough, though, on the internet because, I mean, you come up with one great idea and then suddenly somebody else does it or they do it even better. You know, like whoever first came up with like the rap battle thing. Mm-hmm. And now like there's an mm-hmm. epic rap battle channel.
Right,
and
right.
I don't know. And if you're doing trailer reactions, you're probably going to get slammed with copyright anyway.
Yeah, just from the people that own the trailer.
I don't think that a lot of those are making like a ton of money. But that's the weird thing about the internet also, because it's a lot less corporate entities and it's mm-hmm. a lot more like normal people who can kind of do whatever they want
mm-hmm.
Until they try to do something like this, and then they get all this blowback because you yeah. can't copyright an idea.
Yeah.
You can copyright a format.
No, but you can copyright a format. So if you're mm-hmm. wanting to do things exactly the way they're doing it, if you're wanting to copy the same kind of font and logo and those kinds of styles, yes, you can
yes.
copyright and you can trademark. You know, if you're coming out with the greatest hits CD or a Blu-ray of this and you want to stick that logo on there, you could certainly trademark. And I don't have a problem with them trying to do that. But the implication that I think a lot of people blew up, and again, I came into it well after it was over, was that they were wanting people to join them or die kind of thing.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I'm not super familiar with them otherwise, but just from this one incident, I'm like, you need to calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
It'll be okay. It's the internet.
Well, and it's fascinating because, and when I thought about it, I was like, what a brilliant move to try to get other people to do work for you that you will feature on your channel. You'll
yeah.
take a cut of it. The other person will take a cut of it. It'll all be great. Because so many companies do that. I mean, look at what Wizards of the Coast is doing right now. They have their new, what is it called? The Dungeon Guild or something, whatever it is. And basically,
yeah.
if you've taken the 5th edition and you've created your own modules, your own adventure, your own encounter, you can go put it up online and sell it through the Wizards of the Coast website. They'll take a portion of it, you'll get a portion of it, and Wizards of the Coast may or may not be able to use some of that content in the future if they decide that it's really, really good. So I have no
problem. I mean, they basically become a publishing platform. It's a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It really is interesting. And I think when I started to think about what the Fine Brothers were doing, I was like, well, they're just becoming a redistribution and publishing platform. That isn't so bad.
The argument I would make, though, is that they seem, and I wasn't involved in any of this, like when mm-hmm. it was happening. Again,
right.
like you, I'd only kind of saw the aftermath. They seemed very aggressive about it.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Wizards of the Coast, that the
well, that didn't work out too well. Let's see if we can call her right back. So we will drop her this week. We'll just go over to here. I don't know if I can even get her back in on just regular audio. Let's try that again. All I hear when your internet Skype connection gets caught up in a gravitational wave or what? So anyway, all right, let's see. Not gonna join you, Ashley. So Ashley is gone for the rest of this week. Sorry about that, Ashley, just some technical problems. Boy, you see some comments related to the Fine Brothers. I knew that would get many of you reacting to that. But yeah, I don't know what happened. Yeah, I don't know what happened there. So anyway, we are basically out of time this week, so we will just go ahead and end it there. And thank you, everyone, for being a part of Finally Friday for this week. Thank you, everyone who is a VIP. Oh, really important. If you are a Gold member, do not forget that the Gold VIP chat for this month takes place tomorrow, Saturday, February 13th at 1 o'clock p.m. Central. Ashley will be there. Matthew is supposed to be there. Rob and Brian will also be there. And you can ask us anything, or we can talk about anything. You can find out more at members.majorspoilers.com. Sign up today, become a Gold member, get in on that chat tomorrow. So thank you, everyone. Have a good week, and let's take a look at some of those fine VIPs until we meet again when it's finally Friday.